One for all and all for one. That's the Prana way. Buy our books and read our stuff so we can eat today. Buy our books, don't you delay. Buy our books, buy one today. Buy our books. Welcome to ProntoCast, please buy our books.
Woo! Yeah! All right! Good job! Hi guys, and welcome to ProntoCast. I am your host, Patrick J. Riley, and this is a fun one. This is going to... See, back before, though, when you applauded, that should have been... Because now we're now they just think, oh, it's this guy. Oh, don't worry, it's more of a me thing than you guys. You guys are great. We have a fun show for you today. We're going to do the Comic-Con survival show, so how to get through Comic-Con and survive it. Here with me as a guest, I'm going to go from the from there and then this way. We'll start. Okay, ready? Starting lineup. I don't know sports. I want to do like...
Y'all ready for this?
Number 27, Chris Caruso! Woo! Artist and creator of Scooby-Doo.
Those were all butts, by the way.
Yeah.
That you heard him smacking.
Yeah, exactly.
I plan on suing.
Artist and creator G-Man.
Yay!
Next up, Cena Grace. Yeah! Artist of Burn the Orphanage, Little Depressed Boy, Not My Bag, and also in that regular show issue that I brought because it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah! Woo!
Next up, Jamal Igel. Woo! Artist of Molly Danger coming up.
Right.
Right.
Writer and artist of
Molly Danger. Writer and artist of Molly Danger, Supergirl, Nightwing, Firestorm.
A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
And then, right next to me, good guy, wonderful Aww. Person. co-host of Nerds of Mouth, right?
Nerd of Mouth Podcast.
Nerd of Mouth Podcast.
CaveComedyRadio.com.
CaveComedyRadio.com. Jake Young, everybody. Hey! That's a fun person. A fun guy. So if you haven't heard, this Thursday is Comic-Con in New York. I don't want to frighten you at all. But it is coming up.
Is it only on Thursday?
Only on Thursday.
Well, if we were only on Thursday, we'd be freaking out right now.
Yeah.
You can already see lazy Mario cosplayers kind of amassing near the Jedi like zombies just waiting for flesh.
Yeah.
It's just one rolling pile of spandex, desperation, and BO.
Just rolling down. Oh, man.
The 2 years ago, I was at Comic-Con, and outside, I saw a Mario and Luigi cosplayer couple. The girl was Mario, and the guy was Luigi, because there was a height differentiation.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And they both started making out viciously in front of me, fake mustaches intertwining, and it was the hottest fucking thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm hoping to recapture that magic this year.
Okay, so anyone else have any... Chris, when did you question your sexuality? That's what I wanted to know.
Well, it went beyond sexuality.
it was fairly straightforward from the beginning. I didn't really have to ask any questions.
Yeah. Okay. Well, since you started up, do you guys have like immediate like Comic-Con memory? Like, oh god, this is the one thing that when I think Comic-Con, I think Mario and Luigi making out.
Oh god. Well, San Diego this past year, I was in Artist Alley, and my spot in Artist Alley was probably 200 feet away from the Fox television booth,
uh-huh.
and they kept playing Blurred Lines every day for 5 days straight, except I couldn't hear any of the lyrics. I could only hear the bass line.
Yeah.
I wanted to kill somebody.
You know you want it.
I saw a slutty Finn last New York Comic Con. Like he had like he was wearing like a halter top. And, like, short shorts.
I remember this guy.
Yeah, and he was buff.
It was like he was dressing for Not a Kid Show.
Yeah, and he was on the phone when he was next to me, and I was like, Finn, and he just like strikes this like little cat pose for me.
Oh. And then it becomes like a Titanic moment. He must draw him.
Yeah, he had just like a side boob.
Just wearing the hat.
That's
just the hat.
Chris, you have a fun.
I have also seen people dressed up in cosplay. I've seen it.
Unshakable. We tried to shake him, but he's the unshakable.
I've seen sexy Galvatron. It leaves an impression. You have to have something.
Oh, man. Okay, so, how many people in here are creators or artists or writers or something? Awesome.
Raise your hand, Tyler.
Fantastic.
Raise your hand. Yeah.
Now, those people, like, of course, you guys, you all have tables this year, right?
Yeah. Oh, should we say them?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we're going to do it at the end where, like, Twitter is going to be table numbers. But go ahead. Say them now.
No.
Because I want to, okay, well, now we're going to see, I'm going to
say
it later.
Say
now.
Them what?
Say the tables.
Oh.
What number do
we Artist do? Alley. Table.
I thought you were just going to say Artist Alley.
All of it. All of the Artist Alley.
I'll be right there in Artist Alley.
You had a great spot last year because you were right. You were right in the front.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's last year, Art Baltazar got very sick and he was in the hospital. Uh-huh. Which was,
that's so funny.
Which was my turn of good fortune. I got his awesome table spot. So I was very happy to hear that news. Unfortunately, he's back this year stronger than ever. So I'm a few tables down this year.
There's a room full of creative people, several of whom were going to have tables. This happens every time I'm at a convention, especially at New York Comic Con, is something catches your eye. You see a cool drawing. You start flipping through stuff, but you're not making a purchase. What do you do? Do you make eye contact? Do you say, this is nice, I'm not buying anything? Do you throw down a ninja smoke bomb? What is the ideal scenario?
The ideal scenario usually for me is that they're flipping through my print book or something, or looking through the stuff, or say, hello, hi. That's the start. And then they either acknowledge me or they go,
let me write this
too
down.
Expensive and walk away.
What do you?
I just want to write down to say hello. I'm going to try that out this year.
Well, I found that you get more of a wink and a smile and than a threat.
Yeah. How many years? You guys have been doing Comic-Con conventions for a few years now. Am I right? What's your remember as your first con? What do you remember how it went and stuff like that for you?
As a tabler. My very first convention was one of the old Fred Greenberg shows at the Javits Center. Actually, this was 1994, I think. Yeah, 1994.
Real quiet.
Yeah.
He goes back to the 90s. Yeah, yeah. He got an ancient one.
I go back even further than that. But that was the first time that I actually sat at a table.
The campfire that we're gathered on actually just flared up.
Yeah. I had just did 8 pages in an issue of Green Lantern. It was my first published work. I had a table. I had a bunch of Xerox black and white prints that I had made, and nobody talked to me for 3 days. Except for Steve Ellis, who was sitting right next to me, and nobody talked to him. So we talked to each other, and we've been friends for 16 years.
So do you have a fun little...
Mine's, like, sad.
And mine wasn't.
you made a wonderful friend, a 16-year friendship out of yours.
His story is sad compared to yours. This is going to be epic.
All right. Yeah.
So it was like one of my first Comic Cons ever, and I was exhibiting where Kyle Baker should have been because he couldn't do it, and then he gave it to someone, and then that someone couldn't do it either. So I got like primo spot at San Diego Comic Con. And it was like my first book, and for the 18 people who've read it, they know that like I have no business being there. Like I should have been in Indie Island or something. It's called Books with Pictures. Don't look it up. But it was too big for me, and at the time I was an acquaintance of James Jean, the guy who was doing the Fables cover. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey James, do you want to sit with me? And I was thinking, yeah, like this is gonna be awesome. I'm gonna get so many sales sitting next to James Jean. So we share the booth. And just to give you a picture of who I was back then, I had a salmon-colored sheet that I hung, like I clipped to just, you know, a contraption, and then I taped Polaroids on it, and then used big Sharpie to write books with pictures and, like, prices on it. Uh-huh. And so that was my booth. That was my table. And I had, like, two
Save
issues.
Save that crap for SPX, you hippie.
And then here's James Jean, like, with this, like, very clean setup and, you know, like, an orchid literally growing out of the artwork. And him making, you know, like, thousands upon thousands of dollars. And he wouldn't even be there. He's like, hey, I'm going to go do a panel and have dinner with my DC editors. Here's my assistant. You two hang out. And he would just clean up, and I'd be like, hey, everyone, do you want to read my, like, slice of life book about, you know, like, feelings? So I did not, I mean, you know, to say I flatlined doesn't really paint the picture quite well, but I think you get the idea that it may have been more sad than Jamal's.
Yeah. Well, think about it.
Because I didn't even, like, James isn't, like, my best friend the way you have one now. Like,
right, but think about it this way.
We're now less than acquaintances.
But you're here, and he's in Asia somewhere wandering the earth like Kane in Kung Fu.
But, like, but he can do that with, like, a fat pocketbook.
Apparently not anymore, from what I've heard.
Uh-oh. Gossip Grace.
It's not.
This is where it started, guys. This is where the feud started.
No. This is.
Look him down.
This is not new information. He apparently did an interview, and basically he's like he lost everything, and he's basically living off of barter right now.
See, there you go. You could be a barter, or you could be writing from the orphanage.
What?
Yeah. As long as we're dropping exclusives, Alex Ross killed like 19 kids yesterday. Just with his bare hands.
Yeah, but guys, I know it didn't really work, but it looked beautiful.
Boom! Patrick J. Riley. Chris, your turn.
Chris, you have a beautiful one. I can see it in you.
Not well, I mean, I could tell you my first experience, but I can't make it entertaining or funny. That's the biggest laugh I'll get. I think the first show I did was one of the shows Jamal was talking about. Yeah. It might have been like the last year they had it. It was like in 2002. Probably. Well,
no, because Greenberger. Was it Greenberger? No, because.
No, you know what is that? It was at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember. Ooh! No. You have to understand. There was this company that came in. This is right before Big Apple took over the Penn Pavilion and started doing their shows there. Uh-huh. There was this company that came in and did two shows at Madison Square Garden. Each time they did the show, it was either right at the same time as the Ringling Brothers Circus or right after. So the entire thing...
Elephant poop.
Exactly. The entire thing smelled like elephant crap.
So then it wasn't just me.
No, it wasn't just me.
That's the reason I didn't do so well. My art didn't really stink that bad.
Jake, you must have one, you adorable thing, you.
What? First con?
Yeah, just going to a con. You've gone.
Oh, I mean, New York Comic Con, I've always had a really fun time. Okay.
You were telling me about something the other day, though.
Okay, for a few years, I was running a comedy tour, because that was the... Do you not have any credentials to speak of? Bill yourself as a tour with you and your buddies, and you'll get bookings. And so we got put on a few shows at New York Comic Con as the Geek Comedy Tour. And, like, we were barely open micers.
I thought Patton Oswalt had that spot.
No, that's Comedians Comedy.
That was
Geeks of Comedy.
Okay.
It's just a blatant ripoff.
Imagine, like, the barest... Imagine the barest thread on an already frayed coattail. That's what we grabbed onto. So we did two shows at New York Comic Con. The first one... was literally the stage was set up in a hallway, And, like, we were literally saying comedy at people walking past us. No. But we got free weekend passes, so we didn't care.
Right.
And then, like, as we kind of shut everything down and kind of was like, well, what are you going to do? There's nothing to be done. The New York Jedi Society did a live lightsaber dance duel demonstration and attracted a mass of people with their schoolgirl Jedi ninja fights. The second year... I had moved to New York and invited a bunch of New York comedians, two really funny people, Jared Logan and Mike Lawrence. Yeah. Jared Logan spent the entire time yelling at the autograph tables because the stage was next to him. So he'd be like telling a joke, then like look around and just go, Katie Sackhoff! Katie! Hey, Katie! I like you in Battlestar Galactica! Which is hilarious. And then Mike Lawrence, who is my co-host on Nerd of Mouth and a very funny comedian.
Yeah, Sadamantium, Comedy Central Records.
Hold on, let me pick up these names I just dropped. literally just gave up on his act halfway through and brought up a teenage kid that was wearing a Watchmen the movie t-shirt and would not let him leave until he took it off. Luckily, we had Geek Comedy Tour t-shirts to hand him immediately.
When I went to go see Man of Steel, I was kind of upset afterwards. I'm like, I don't really like it. And Mike grabbed me and hugged me and said, Pat, it's okay. We've all felt this pain. And then a single tear went down and just walked away.
This is a complete total side note, but I work for Dorkly.com, and we posted a thing that was like reasons why Wonder Woman will never get a movie and all the jokes.
Oh, I read that.
It's my editor wrote it. It's brilliant. You should check it out. And the first comment is like this real douchey nerd just goes like, the reason why Wonder Woman isn't getting a movie is because she's not an interesting or compelling character. Next comment is another fan that just goes, that didn't stop them from making a Superman movie. Oh! A million likes! Just a fountain of likes! I can't even count how many likes that thing got. And it was like the most beautiful thing I read all day.
My first convention that I went to was one of the Apple Cons, when they would hold it at the piers.
Yeah.
And I wanted to dress up in cosplay because I've never done it before. And my buddy said, you know, you're fat, I'm skinny, let's be Jay and Silent Bob. So I got my dad's trench coat, which was way too big for me because I was like 15. And I started running around with this backpack and fucking, I had long hair wig, but the coat kept tripping me and tripping me. And the best part was like at the end of the day, Thomas Jane was right here. And I was, and Punisher had come out. He was awesome. And I ran to him, and I tripped on my coat and smashed my face on this pier. And I got up, and I had a nosebleed and everything. And I'm just this fat kid in a trench coat with long hair and fucking pimples going, ah! And then Thomas Jane looks down and just goes, this is about right, and walked off. And I was just like,
wow!
No!
You just got Thomas Jane.
I just got Jane. You see me in this cameo in Scott Pilgrim. Thank you and left.
Vegan police.
That is a horrible and tragic story. Also, Thomas Jane's a dick.
Yeah. That was funny. They had this stripper cart go around, and it was this.
Oh, I remember.
You remember the stripper cart?
I remember hearing. I wouldn't go to the show. I absolutely refused. But I heard about the stripper cart.
Wizard World. Anything. Anyway. Yeah. But he was following that around, and I was chasing him, trying to talk to him. And then I fell, and he looked back, and it was just everything that could have went wrong in that moment of my life went wrong. But as artists who go to Comic Con to kind of sell your work and stuff like that, a lot of people go with portfolios to show you guys to get notes. What are your notes generally like? Are you just like okay with it? You're not okay. How should someone approach you with their portfolio? Because it's going to happen.
Chris is going first.
I am. I usually just look for something. And I don't get that many people that are trying to break into DC and Marvel approaching me. I tend to get younger kids that are kind of, because my style is so cartoony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a lot of like, younger kids that come by with stuff. And so it's usually easy to be really positive and, pick out stuff that, I really like what you did here, and I like what you did here, and, just keep practicing that kind of a thing.
You've got to, like, I'm going to tell a story. You've definitely have to, like, pad and pick and choose. I don't know. I'm not like Eric Larson where I'm like, you're just the worst. But
that's
will.
That's weird. You're standing here, but you haven't killed yourself.
You know, yeah, I always try to find, like, one nice thing and then constructively say, like, you should spend more time on this thing. But I will tell a quick story because Tyler's here.
Go ahead.
And it's a New York Comic Con. No, it's not. It's a Toronto story.
Hey, New York, Toronto, it's just like a Canadian version of it. Go ahead.
We're at Fan Expo, and this guy comes up with this portfolio, and he's amazing. He's like, oh, hey, I have this artwork. And I'm like, you're fantastic. And, like, I took his information at the time I was an editor. And then I gave, you know, his information to this guy at Image who at the time was handling submissions, right?
Sure.
And so we were both, like, really vibing. We're like, that was awesome. You never expect good submissions, blah, blah, blah. Then this girl comes up, and she's like, I sent my pitch to Image, and I haven't heard back yet. And I was like, oh, yeah, go talk to that guy. And so, you know, they meet, and I'm there, and she's like, yeah, I sent this over. And she brings out, it was literally, she had drawn her comic book like on like lined notebook paper.
Oh my God. What a bold creative choice. Who is this woman?
I don't know. And it was not good. In the dictionary, that submission is there for the definition of like bad.
What not to do, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just terrible. And what was even worse was that she also lacked social graces. So this associate of mine at Image Comics was like, yeah, if you haven't heard back in, you know, a couple months, it means we probably passed. We don't write any rejection emails. And then she goes, why'd you reject it? And at that point, you're kind of like, it's like, yeah. If you don't realize you're this bad, you can't even, like, you don't know where to start. They're that bad. So that's when you just sort of have to put on, like, the kid gloves and be like.
Quick question. I just wanted to wonder, I feel like I need to grow as a person, understand the industry better.
Yeah.
Why didn't you recognize my greatness?
Was it the loose leaf paper, or was it the fact that I used a pencil, then a pen? I hear, like pronto, we have an open policy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, whatever you submit, I will look at it and I will send you back my critique or whatever, or I'll send it off to an editor and they'll send you the critique. I got this one guy who would just send me one panel drawings, and they were basically stick figure drawings, on post-it notes. And I'm like, oh, this is something, and you should, you know, work on it, and then send it back to me. That's my no. So, now you guys know. So if I ever get that, that's what that is. So he sent me another one where it was almost the exact same thing, only instead of being just a picture from his camera, it was scanned. I just said, is this the same thing? He goes, no, I scanned this one, so it's different. And I went, no, it wasn't the quality of the picture.
It was the quality.
It was the quality of the picture. So I was like, why don't you do me a favor? I want you to get, you know,
if
just
had
a nice...
had a better scanner, it would look like a Neil Adams drawing.
Oh. There you go.
Crap, so 300 DPI, genius!
So I basically told him, like, hey, listen, get yourself, if nothing, just get yourself some computer paper and draw more than just one panel. Draw a few panels on one page. And he just goes, oh, you know what? Too much work. And I was just like, oh, well, there goes one problem. And I was just like, well, we have to.
Way to crush his dreams.
Yeah, I crushed his dreams.
And that man was Joe Biden.
What about you?
Oh, God. I take it case by case, to be honest. If a person approaches me with a portfolio, I will look at it. And while I'm looking at the portfolio, I'm also looking at them. And
if they're hot, then you say.
They're rarely hot. But they usually look like me.
Well, so hot.
Hey. Yeah, watch out.
Oh, Jamal, you.
But
you
and this is something that I learned working at DC is, you know, you're not just judging the artwork itself, you're also judging the person. So you're looking at their body language as you're reviewing them. Mm-hmm. And there's certain tells that let you know that sometimes people are a little bit more should be treated more gingerly than others.
Kid gloves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I always begin, after I look through the work, and if I see something, or if I see like there's somewhere that they can go with it, I always start with a question. Do you want me to be nice, or do you want me to be honest?
Yeah.
And usually, 9 times out of 10, they'll say, you know, be honest with me, and I will give them a detailed critique, and I'll let them know where I think their strengths and their weaknesses are, and what they can do to work on it. I'll make some suggestions for books. You know,
your line quality is that of an afflicted chimpanzee. Your color choices are that of some sort of moron.
But you sound like the Gordon Ramsay. Yeah. Just like, what are you, stupid?
No, that would be Neil.
Oh, he hates everything. I'm not even an artist, and one time I just said, hi, Neil, and he just goes, your writing sucks. I'm like, I didn't even know! Which Neil is this?
And the reason why I do this is I remember very early on, I had this young lady come up, approach me at a convention, and asked me to critique her work. And it was okay. It was very reminiscent of Wendy Pinney and very ElfQuest-y. But there were, staging problems, storytelling problems, composition issues, anatomy issues, just a litany of stuff. And I'm trying to tell her this, and as she's standing there, I see the tears welling up in her eyes. And I couldn't have felt more like a shit heel at that moment. And I just kept, I didn't walk anything back, but I kept trying to make, soften the blow a little bit more and more. That was the first time that I'd ever made somebody cry at a convention.
Oh, man.
There's been more?
Shalom!
The first of many.
Because then once he had the taste for blood, he was...
Yeah. Oh, but I
just took him down.
Yeah. He's like, do you want me to be nice or be honest? Please say honest. Please say honest.
No, but I mean, I've had, and this is more of a visual than I had. There was this one guy who came to me at one of the old Big Apple shows at the church. And this guy, he's with his girlfriend, balding, gold chains, leather jacket, collar open. Yeah. He's got his girlfriend who couldn't be more bored. And I'm looking, he hands me his sketchbook, and he's just like,
he's standing up, ladies
good,
and gentlemen.
Right? I'm in prison.
I'm good, right?
Was he Andrew Dice Clay?
Yeah!
Might as well have been,
Hickory dickory dock. I drew Superman with a huge cock.
and I'm looking through the sketchbook, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. But he just struck me as one of these guys that all of his buddies told him how awesome he was. And he should be drawing tattoos and comic books and shit. Yeah.
Apostrophe. Shit.
Oh, man. I was... does anyone... If beers are there, see, I've already had myself some. I've been drinking it all, so if you guys want beers, I was in. I was in Chicago, and I had my first book done. Like, the first book, I was very proud of it. Put on my own. I thought the writing was really funny, and people were getting it too. They were saying, like, oh, I understand. It's a joke of this. I'm like, yeah. And I was so proud of it. And the artist and I, we went up to, I'm not going to say who it was, went up to him and we gave it to him. And he just opened it and closed it and said, are you fucking kidding me? Zombies again? And I'm like, well, no, it's a parody of zombies. He goes, yeah, that's been done too.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, but do you want to, I mean, like, it's funny. It's like, it's a Rambo parody. And he just goes, yeah, that's a 20-year-old movie. Get over it. But you're not even gonna look at it. And he just ignored us the rest of the time.
I'm really sorry about that. I was on my way to the bathroom, and
Jesus, I will never forgive you. This was actually a ruse. I pulled a string in it.
Look at all the TV cameras.
Yeah.
Hi.
But I will end this on a nice note, unless Chris is gonna chime in right when I'm done. There have been two wonderful.
One time, just
there have been two times though, and this is for anyone who has been told they're shit or they have literally no future in comics. Mm-hmm. There have been two times where I have been proven gloriously wrong. One of them is Jamie McKelvey. Mm-hmm. If you
in the book I draw the little depressed boy from Image Comics. We have a volume zero when we were an anthology book, and we had different artists doing it, and we published the first Jamie McKelvey pages ever. And I didn't think he was unpublishable, but people look at it now and they say, like, if that guy brought me a portfolio, I would have told him he had no future in comics. There was a guy in high school, you know, in high school I loved drawing comics, and people saw me as, like, the dude, if you wanted to talk comics, you come to me. I was, you know, like, Don Comic Man.
Like whatever. Everyone else on this panel?
Yeah, sure, yeah. But this guy came up to me and he's like, yeah, what do you think of my stuff? And it was, you know, horrendous. It was all, like, you know, terrible line work and everything Jamal said earlier. And back then, because we're in high school, I can't tell him shit. I was just like, And we went out for drinks, not having seen each other for over 10 years. And now he does, like, concept illustrations for Hollywood. He sold out. And he's better than me. He's, like, he's amazing, you know. He just he worked at it, and he fucking just took his licks and improved. So anyone listening, if anyone tells you you're not good enough, you may not be good enough, but keep trying. Yeah. You know,
the 2 years ago, or maybe it was, I went to a Joe Kubert panel. It was like one of the last ones he ever did. No, it was late at night, barely anyone was in the room. But there was there he was, all old and Joe Kubert-y, just drawing into an overhead projector, and literally, I think these words will haunt me. And it was, if someone you trust tells you you should stop drawing, they're not someone you should trust. And if you're someone that would stop drawing just because someone told you to, you're not an artist. And like that, yeah. Just like will just resonate with me forever. Like,
the year before I think maybe it was 2 years before he died, I hadn't done anything. I just like wrote comic scripts and shit, because I wanted to fucking make this stuff. And so I wrote a comic script, and I was trying to show artists, like, oh, let's do it. And I had just paid $100. I'm going to say that, and I've never physically announced the number. I paid $150 to meet Stan Lee.
That's stupid.
I'm aware. But, so I paid the money to meet Stan Lee, and I was kind of bummed because I literally spent that money, and I don't have money, so that's still a lot of money, and I was kind of bummed out, and just sitting at a table with Joe Kubert, and I walked over, and I'm like, oh, hey, how are you? And I had Stan Lee's Batman that he drew with him, and I had him sign it, and we just ended up talking, and for like an hour and a half, we had this awesome conversation, and finally at the end, I'm like, I have the script, and he read it and then gave me full notes. Like, you know, this needs to be more script. This, and it was so fantastic. It was awesome. It was great. And here's the lead. This guy, he's better than me. He was so wonderful. And then I told this sad story. I don't know why. I just felt it. He's a good person. That's the end of the story.
And his love don't cost a thing.
That sounds like a great story.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
No, it was this.
Like, it really picks up after the 150 was wasted.
Yeah.
Then it gets awesome, though.
No, he was so great. And then, like, he just sat there, and he read my script, and then he gave me the notes.
That's like $150 experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we just talked, and then he was talking to me about, like, the kind of scripts that he would like as an artist to get. And he's like, oh, well, working with Stan was like... Actually, I'll tell you exactly. He said working with Stan Lee was weird because Stan Lee would tell you in detail by, like, just word of mouth what he wants in this one panel. But when it came to writing it down on a piece of paper, Stan was, like, such a curmudgeon. He'd just be like, example, like, you know, Spider-Man swings a web. And he goes, well, you just told me this detail of how the sky should look. And how, and he just goes, yeah, then you heard it from, just fucking draw Spider-Man. So he was like this, and then he...
I already told you what to do, exactly. Just draw it.
Did he have to get up on a desk and perform it?
Yeah, exactly. And then,
it's just a piece of blank paper with just the word Excelsior.
And he just goes, Stan wants another thing drawn anyway. But, no, and it was great. And then
how was Joe Kubert supposed to draw something if Stan isn't, like, acting it out to show him how?
Yeah. You would hear about this. Okay, so as artists, like, how, because you guys are all artists, including you, you little adorable thing. You are an artist.
I make clickbait slideshows in freelance work.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. What do you look for in a comic script? I mean, you work with yourself mostly, but have you?
Yeah, what I do is I get up on my desk in front of the mirror.
And you berate yourself for an hour and a half.
I dance around and I sit down. I know exactly what to draw.
It's beautiful.
But yeah, I don't really draw anything that other people write. So
Actually,
I do. I'm working on something right now. Mark Sumrak is writing this comic book story that I'm drawing, and I would call that like full script. I like to know, okay, what does he want me to draw? Yeah. Okay, I know what to draw. I'll draw it. I'm done. I can move on. Like, I don't feel like the need. Like, your question. I don't feel the need to like get like, you know, add input to this story if I'm collaborating with somebody, because I do that so much on my own. Like, oh, I have so many other stories that I've completely dictated from beginning to end that I just like, I want to know what they want me to do and then I'll do it.
I don't know. I don't know why I say yes. No, I say yes so often. No. I think, and I don't know how to describe getting to this point, but like having a trust with your writer and being able to sort of, you know, in the sense like, yeah, Spider-Man shoots a web, and in those lines we both know what the clouds look like, and
yeah,
you know, it's not spoken, and then when I lay it out they're like, oh yeah, you just did it. So I think I like that kind of sort of, yeah, relationship that comes from trust and being able to sort of read each other's minds or having conversations beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I also like when they're not too dense, and I do enjoy good dialogue. I don't know, that wasn't real. That, like, no potential writer here is like, oh yeah, now I know how to like make my scripts 10 times better from that. Thanks, Cena.
No, that was helpful. Jamal, do you have anything?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I've worked on so many different types of scripts over the years. I've worked from Marvel-style plot scripts. I've worked from full scripts. When I write...
What do you prefer?
I actually prefer full scripts.
Yeah.
Because I like to get a sense of the writer's reality, the reality that he's creating within the story. So I prefer, and also depending on the dialogue, it helps me with like facial expressions, yeah, and body language and that sort of thing. The only time that I've ever worked on a loose plot was when I did Tangent Superman's Reign with Dan Jurgens. Mm-hmm. And even then, it was still very complete. But I've also worked from just layouts. I've worked from Keith Giffen's layouts on 52. I've worked from... You know,
guy on the desk.
You worked on 52?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I worked on 52.
That's do you know, you're like a magical creature that actually like are part of the good thing that DC did. Like DC was like, oh, we fucked around and it worked. Now let's do it forever.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's incredible.
But yeah, that was an experience because I was working with four different writers, so
yeah,
in the same issue, like scripts were coming in at different speeds.
Well, four different like storylines.
Well, yeah, no, because I started with Grant Morrison's part, and then I got Mark Waid's part, and then I got Greg Rucka's part, and then I got Jeff Johns's part.
Anyone else get
really
excited? Like,
and I was excited, but even with those four guys, they had gotten it down to a point where they melded styles in terms of writing.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of how they laid out the story. Mm-hmm. You really, unless you knew who was writing what, you really, if you had just looked at the script, you would not have been able to tell who had written what,
yeah,
even though they each had a very specific, you know, part to each issue that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I like working with full scripts. When I write for myself or for other people, I write full scripts because I like world building. And each issue of whatever it is that you're doing should be about a certain level of world building because you're always meeting new readers. You're always getting first-time readers coming in with no prior knowledge of the story that you're trying to tell. I mean, it's easier with like a Marvel or a DC thing, or you know, even something like Savage Dragon, which has been running for, you know, 25 years now, something like that, right?
Yeah. Feels longer.
It feels longer. Yeah.
21.
but you know, but you know, something with longevity and continuity, and you know, some with its own built-in sort of language that, you know, even if you pick up the book for the first time, you have a basic idea of who these characters are. It's harder to do when you're doing something independently. With Molly, like with Molly Danger, for example, 90% of the first half of the book is world building. Yeah. But I had to do it in such a way that it wouldn't be boring for the reader. I had to find devices to tell this elaborate backstory that I had built around this character, because there's a 20-year history that nobody has ever seen, but you have to make it feel like you've been along for the ride for 20 years.
I feel like that's something that all three of you, I like looking at your stuff, Bess, you've all done it like almost perfectly. I mean, especially like G-Man, you know, we know his...
Especially G-Man.
You know, like this relationship only with his brother and like all his friends, and then, you know, LDB, like, you know, his apartment alone, like, I can tell you the map out of, like, what it looks like because...
I got a map. Like, the creator actually created a map that I have consistently, like, not referred to. and if you read...
Good artistry.
Yeah, oh, yeah. If you read The Little Depressed Boy, like, we, like, oh, my God, the doors, like... Mm-hmm. We don't, like, they open every which way, the knobs go every which way. I have changed out knobs. There have been windows where there should not be.
How much negative fan response have you gotten as a result of that?
Well, you're about to.
I'm going to guess none.
I mean, none, but...
Okay, that's, like, I think that stuff doesn't really matter.
I mean,
really
there's a lot of
fangirls
on Tumblr that have been shipping the doorknobs and the windows. And
but, like, you know, in terms of staging it, like, I've noticed that as an artist, I kind of, like, I think I draw things like a sitcom. Like, there's always that fourth wall.
Yeah. Right.
That, like, I never consider. If you read Little Depressed Boy, there's always, like, one wall I'm shooting from, so to speak, in every room. And it's kind of like Married with Children, that if you just turn the camera, it'd be, like, a small TV and, like, just a barren wall. So, yeah, maps are cool when they actually do that. And if you read anything else I do, Branwyn even noticed. She's like, yeah, you completely forgot to draw that thing there. And I'm like, I know. Which is why not my bag. It's great because everything changes and shifts because it's supposed to. So yeah, that book was just all like, what do I... Yeah.
Memoir.
That entire book was like, what don't I like to draw?
You know what? If there's one thing I have to do before this podcast is over. New York Comic Con survival, proper nutrition. Stay clear of refined carbohydrates. Stay clear of sugar. You'll get like a big rush, and then the crash will destroy you. Vegetables, protein. Keep that energy level constant. Right. There's a lot of information, a lot of stimulus. Stay focused. Don't let the crash hit you. Also, bathe.
Bring the wear the highest.
That's more of an anime
possible.
Convention. Yeah. Thing. That was a cheap shot.
Let's go. Back.
I'm for the bathing. That's brilliant.
You know what? Don't bathe if you don't want to. I'm not here to.
Exactly. Actual survival of Comic Con. This is something I realized the other day that no one talks about. Walking around is a bitch during Comic Con, but since most people are taking the bus or the train, the buses and the train let off on 7th Avenue, and it's a mile downhill to the Javits Center, which isn't that bad going downhill. But at the end of the day, when you've been walking around and you're carrying shit, you now have to walk that same mile uphill. What do you guys think we should do?
There's a bus. There is a crosstown bus.
But see, it's a bus. Have you been on the bus?
Yes, I have been on the bus.
Oh, it's the saddest thing you'll ever see. It's a bunch of nerds who didn't get to talk to that one guy sitting there just going, I can't believe I drew dressed up like Jubilee and I didn't even get to meet Chris Claremont.
No, but okay, here are your options. You can either take a bus.
Uh-huh.
You can walk, which we're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
Don't take a cab.
Don't
try to grab a cab out. Do not try to take a cab outside the Javits Center, especially.
Because they do a circle around about four times, and then they start to go uptown, and then they go...
Right.
Yeah.
What about, like, walking a few blocks to where the restaurants are, get some dinner?
and then see what your energy
exactly.
level's like.
Yeah.
Or just at least walk a few blocks out so you can grab cabs there. Because, yeah, if you grab a cab right outside the Javits Center, it's awful. And I'm not. I'm from Los Angeles, so I don't know what to say.
Tell us what the differences are between LA and New York.
Like, we have way better juice cleanses.
I'll fight you to the death on that.
I don't know. I lived in LA for a year and a half.
We do have more movie stars, though. That's just I have
Patrick Stewart lives three blocks from my house.
Yeah.
Where do you live? What's going on?
The other day
in
the other day I ran into Alan Rickman. So
we get it. We're all friends with British actors.
How was Mr. Rickman?
I wanted to say, like, when I saw
him. Is he here?
It's the magic of
radio. Uh-oh, guys, who's at the door?
Hello, people.
Like, I saw him sitting down in the park, and I was sitting near him, and I wanted to say something, and he saw me in the corner of his eye, and just went,
ugh. That's a credit.
And I was just so okay with that, I just looked at him like, hey, thanks for that. And he just goes, I didn't mean to insult you. I'm like, no, you Alan Rickman me. That's all I ever wanted. And then I took an umbrella out and I flew off like Mary Poppins. That's what you do when you meet a Brit.
No. When you meet Alan Rickman, you throw him off a building. That's
right. And suddenly
he loves it.
Do you have any tips for Comic-Con that you think people should be aware of?
Come visit my Artist Alley table. commission me to draw something very simple and give me lots of money for it.
What do you at Comic-Con commissions, like, what do you like to draw?
Pregnant wolf ladies.
Actually, I really like to draw nothing. Because it just winds up being, like, you know, pretty labor-intensive day and night.
Uh-huh.
You know, you bring to work home.
I don't bring work home. At all.
I prefer superheroes, like classic costume superheroes, as opposed to, like, occasionally I get requested to draw video game characters, which are, like, modern video game characters that are, you know, 3D, like, super detailed costuming and all this kind of stuff that I've never even seen before, so you have to learn.
Like, which details matter and which don't.
Well, it's really hard to do. I just don't want to do it.
I don't really have anything in particular that I'd like to draw anymore.
I used to like drawing, and now it's just a job.
I would like an actual horse in samurai armor driving a photorealistic car.
Can I drive the sword through your skull?
I like drawing things like my hand is already used to drawing. So that's why, like, I hate drawing Batman because I don't. I draw indie shit. So
yeah.
Indie shit with pointy ears.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been doing. I was like, fuck this. I'm drawing the Mike Mignola Batman black and white as I remember it. But so when people ask for Adventure Time stuff, or if they ask for weird variations of the little depressed boy doing funny things like wearing a cowboy hat, I'm like, fuck yeah, I know how to draw a cowboy hat. You know, and then it's like, it's easy. It's not easy money because I'm still working, but at least it's not like I'm pulling up reference and then I give them this weird lopsided drawing and I have to see their face grimace as they, you know, receive it.
I would like Ragman 2 piloting a gun.
Do you ever get people come to you and say, oh, I got a challenge for you.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to ask, like, what do you think is the most challenging or the weirdest request you guys ever made?
I got a weird one.
I want to fucking know. Guys, strap in. We're going on an adventure. Let's do it.
Oh.
He's pulling it up, too.
No, I'm not pulling. I thought I had it on here, but I don't. It's on my Facebook. This is a different one that's on my Facebook page. But the one that I'm going to tell you about, and strap in for this one, kids, because it's good. So I'm at this convention. This was years and years ago. And it's me, Jimmy Palmiotti, and Amanda Connor. It's this little convention. It's a Sunday. Oh, I do have... I'll show you this one later. It's a Sunday. This is, you know, late 90s, something like that. And this guy walks in. It's this little hotel ballroom show.
Yeah.
This guy walks in, and he's wearing a red polo shirt, green shorts, green pro kids and a child size rain slicker.
Mm.
And it's yellow.
Good, good. I like
what's for
going.
Dinner?
And he walks up to me and he's holding a photo album. And the photo album is filled with pictures of little boys dressed like Batman and Robin.
Different boys or the same?
Different boys.
Oh, that's even better. Go on, sir.
Polaroids.
Oh, Polaroids. You know it's dirty. Go on.
Wood paneling background?
Real Fiona Apple.
Yeah. he looks at me and he goes, I'd like to get a sketch. I have something very specific in mind. How do you feel about nudity?
And you said?
And I said,
well, you were too busy dialing 911.
I said, well, normally I don't have a problem with it. And I was young. I needed the money.
Were those kids?
I didn't see the photo album until afterwards.
After the nudity question, then he shows you the pictures.
Yes. And he wanted me to draw a picture of Robin the Boy Wonder wearing nothing but the cape and the pixie boots. Oh, and then he showed me the folder. And then I said, fuck you.
And then you drew Burt Ward with his giant...
Oh, man. Hey, last call for any of the beer.
But in terms of... Yeah,
did you dial 911 right then and there?
Well, this was before I had a cell phone, so... But in terms of challenges... I was at a show in Ithaca, New York, Hero BotCon, a couple of weeks ago, and this guy, they had prepped me beforehand because he had been saving his nickels and wanted a color commission from me. And basically,
color commissions are what, 15 cents?
Yeah, exactly.
Three nickels.
One Bitcoin.
And he's like, I've got it. This idea, I'm wondering if you have a problem doing this, because I know you worked on the books. I want you to draw the real Superman punching the new 52 Superman.
Can you see?
So I said to him,
yes, answer.
Do you mind if I put a caption balloon in it? And he said, knock yourself out. So I'm going to show you what I did.
Tight.
And the caption balloon says, stay down, son.
That is beautiful. That is...
Oh, that's fantastic.
You have to post that on every social media.
It's on my Facebook wall. You guys won't be able to really see it at this
point. There's a great one right now with Lobo spanking the new Lobo.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's my wallpaper on my phone.
I just want to make a comment, if I can. That seems like it would not be very challenging for you to draw two Supermen fighting.
No. But I think he was my history with DC, I think he was thinking that I would have a problem with it.
Oh, okay.
And I had more fun with that than I probably should have.
Right.
what's your most challenging request?
I'm going to go with weird.
Hey. We like it.
Well, first of all, yeah, there's a whole mermaid one that I'll get into some other time. Mm-hmm. Next time. But on Facebook, people friend me, whatever. And this guy was like, oh, I'm not going to make it to New York Comic Con this year. And I'm like, oh, shit, sorry. And he was like, yeah, I was gonna ask you to do a naked drawing of yourself. Nick, if you're listening, I'm telling the story. And
well, then go on.
Specifically, so, you, not the guy.
Me. And this is where the story gets weird. I'm like...
That's where the story gets weird? Yeah.
I'm with a friend, and I'm like, yo, do you think he's gay? And they're like, what do you mean? He's asking for a naked drawing of yourself. And I was like, yeah, but, like, it's kind of who I am. Like, people, like, I did a naked drawing of myself as the Showgirls cover when I went to Vegas, and, like, the two people who wanted the original were both heterosexual. One is here.
The other was Joe Esterhaus. Yes.
So I did, and then also for another friend's birthday, I was like, what do you want for your birthday? And she's like, draw yourself naked, because I said, do you want me to do a nude portrait of you as a joke? And she said, no. Anyway, so I was like, it's my thing. Like, maybe, you know, maybe he's in on the joke all the way from Australia. I don't know. And so, like, as I'm having this conversation with a friend in real life, I'm like...
Facebook messaging back and forth, trying to like, you know, get a sexuality clue from this guy. And
it's
and
hard then, on Facebook.
How do you do that? Do you just like subtly say, "Are you gay?"
I was like,
no,
why?
It's more like, do you like Barbara Streisand more than
so
just,
I kind of go there. So no, I was like, why would you want that? LOL, you're not serious. And it kept going on, and then at a certain point, it was like 30 minutes of back and forth. So finally,
you adopted a wide stance. Then
what's
your
favorite musical? Question mark.
So I go. Finally, I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna ask him to my friend who's sitting next to me. I'm like, yo, are you a friend of Dorothy?
Yeah.
And my friend Brian.
1950s of you.
And my friend Brian, who's straight, is like, what's friend of Dorothy? And I was like, if he's gay, he's gonna get it.
You said it.
And
exactly.
He types back, surrender, Darth.
he was like, friend of Dorothy? Question mark. And I was like, ah. And I was like, are you gay or what? And he was like, yes. And then the conversation went other places.
Wait. So he didn't know the reference, but he was gay?
He's from Australia.
He's from Australia. Maybe that.
Well, he's from Oz. He should get it anyway. That's right.
All right, Chris, it's your turn. But yeah, that's the weirdest, best request ever.
Chris, what about you?
Weirdest that I can remember, Hitler throwing a walrus into the sun.
So he started with like the whole bull's entrance right here, and he's like, how am I gonna get further? And then he just did. Good job.
I mean, where else is Hitler gonna throw the walrus?
Now, was the walrus like Lenin walrus or just
like the animal?
Okay. Did you do it?
I drew it. Yeah. I'll draw that thing all day long.
I'm drawing it right now. I've been drawing it.
Oh, man. What are your tables? Let's go through that. Yeah. Tables and Twitter. Let's do that. Chris?
I believe I'm at D3 in Artist Alley. My Twitter is Chris_Geruso.
Spell your last name.
No.
Hold on. It's GIARRUSSO.
Yeah.
There we go.
Nice.
And I'm dyslexic.
I am an Artist Alley, R8, and my Twitter is @SinaGrace, SINA, and Grace is self-explanatory if you are in America or any English-speaking country. GRACE. Thanks, Brandon. Sorry.
I am not in Artist Alley this year, actually.
Where are you?
Are you Molly Danger? Yeah, I am at booth 3126, which is the Vamplets Action Lab Entertainment booth. I will be there all weekend. But we're also having a launch party. Yeah, we're having a launch party for Molly Danger at JHU Comic Books on Saturday night at 9 p.m. It's 32 East 32nd Street between Park Avenue and Madison Avenue, spitting distance from the convention.
Bring your own Molly.
Yeah, so please come. We will have signed books.
I want to see you spit from the Javits Center to JHU.
I haven't had enough beer to do that tonight.
Well, get ready.
Would you like some?
Just so you guys are, I'm at Best Jake Young. Two things I want to plug. Is that on Friday at the con itself, there's going to be a College Humor live panel with Kumail Nanjiani, who is one of my favorite comedians ever. So those are my employers, so help them out. And just act nice. Just be nice. Maybe be like, hey, that Jake Young guy's pretty good. You should promote him. I don't know. Yeah. And then if for some reason you literally want to leave the convention, go across town, and watch even more nerds tell jokes, I'm going to be at... This show is Bendis' fault. I'm going to be hosting it at Broadway Comedy Club. And all the featured comedians are going to be members of the Jinx World Forums.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Including former member of the Geek Comedy Tour, Evan Valentine.
There you are. At Pronto Comics, and our booth, we're going to be at the Collector Kingdoms booth, which is 2679.
Yay!
Yay!
Four more years.
Guys, thank you so much for being on ProntoCast. I'm Justin Riley. Thank you for coming. Tom, play that ukulele song again.
One for all and all for one.
That's the Prono way. Buy our books and read our stuff so we can eat today. Buy our books, don't you delay. Buy our books, buy one today. Buy our books, welcome to ProntoCast. Please buy our books.